John chapter 20, the gospel that Deacon Dan read, verses 19 through 23. I really love this text, and you know, this is a sermon that I almost feel like when I finish saying it, I'm done speaking, period. I mean, because if we'll just simply apply what I'm talking about today, we will continue to be changed and transformed, and we're going to transform our situations and others. So this is one of those, if you ever take notes during a sermon, this would be one to take, just because it's simple, redundant reminders. We're going to have a little fun with it. I like to do that. I like to be creative. But this is really simple stuff. I've titled this message, Finding Your Phone Booth. All right? Finding Your Phone Booth. Now, phone booths are kind of antiquated now. You, growing up, you used to have phone booths everywhere, you know, with the cell phone age. But the phone booth in the comic strips was what happened in the phone booth? Clark Kent became Superman, right? So we're going to talk about finding your phone booth. Now, let me just throw this question out there. Who did you aspire, what superhero did you aspire to be growing up? I hear some Wonder Woman. Hold on. Wait a minute. Here she is. Here's Wonder Woman. Oh, let's listen to her.
Wonder Woman, I'm on my way.
Wonder Woman in the invisible jet. Now, I never understood the invisible jet because you could see her. You know what I'm saying? It's a little odd. But, so anyway, Wonder Woman, what else? Come on, you guys, I know I didn't aspire to be Wonder Woman. So what was your aspiration? I said Captain America. I was talking to Father Terry. He said Captain Kangaroo. I don't know where he got, I don't know where he got that. But Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, you know, of course the list goes on, that we all aspire to be the rifleman. Yeah, that makes more sense. We won't take that out into your ministry circles. That's not appropriate. But we all aspire to be, and there's that sense of wanting to be a superhero. And I want to kind of stir that aspiration up this morning. What does that look like in Christ? And I have to say to you, there are many days where I kind of bumble and fumble through the day, kind of like Clark Kent, right? You remember his characterization. He was this kind of fidgety, bumbling, silly person. And I feel like many days I've gone through my days kind of like Clark Kent. But there are days that I know where the superhero Jesus lived his life through me. And I want that to be more often than not. Amen? It's okay to aspire to that. That's a good thing. To want to be fruitful, to want to be free, to want to fly. So this word today is, this text in particular is going to help us get there. It's this magical place where our Lord takes us and He gives us our costume, He gives us our cape, and He says, go and fly. And it really can be a daily experience. I was thinking of the picture that Father Don has given us several times. It's morbid. That's okay. He's a counselor. They do that. So remember 9/11, you've got the person that's swan diving off the towers. Others are kind of flailing in the wind. It's really a hard picture. But you have this person that had whatever sense of security and freedom that literally did a swan dive, a beautiful swan dive off the towers. Again, that's a bit morbid, but we all know that we're going towards our death, right? Unless our Lord returns, and He might do that. But we're all headed that direction. How are we going to go? Are we going to flail? Are we going to cater to anxiety and fear and judgment and condemnation? Are we going to have a sense of freedom and of grace and of beauty as we go? So I think this word will help us get there. John's gospel, this is kind of an everyday, everyone text. Let me just remind you, and we're in John 20, that, you know, John, his gospel was unique. It had a universal message to it. He was writing decades after the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord. The temple had been destroyed. Christians and Jews were scattered all over the world. And John begins his gospel even different than other writers. It started with genealogies and the fulfillment of prophecies. Just sense how universal and philosophical his message is. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John wanted to make sure that his message, his gospel, was accessible to everyone throughout all the ages. He had this heart to make sure that that took place. And interesting that they believe that the people that were gathered in this locked room that day were not the 12 disciples. This was more than that. There was women. There was men, other followers of Christ. Surely some of the disciples in there too. But this is the context that John brings us to. And I believe what he's saying here is Jesus revealed himself in this particular context, in this particular time in history, in a specific way, but he continues to reveal himself this way every day to us. Okay? It's not locked down to this context. It would be John's heart to say, I want you to know the Jesus that's revealed in this text in a personal way. He's alive. He's a person. He's not a principle. He's not a religion. He's a person. And I want you to encounter him in this way and be forever changed and to be free and to be fruitful and to fly. Now, we're going to have five R phrases for how Jesus revealed himself. And here's the five, and then we'll go through them. Number one, he reveals himself miraculously. He reveals himself miraculously. Number two, he reassures us of his love and faithfulness. So number two, he reassures us of his love and faithfulness. Number three, he reveals himself specifically. Number four, this is redundant, but he does it again, and you can guess why. Again, he reassures us of his love and faithfulness. That's number four. And then lastly, he releases us in the power of the Spirit. Up, up, and away. Amen. All right, let's talk about revealing himself miraculously. Verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, they're locked up behind closed doors. There's an accusation going around that they stole the body of Jesus while the guards were sleeping. Real believable. People believe what they want to believe. So there was this accusation, and they were being hunted. And so they're behind locked doors here. And I want to suggest to you that there are many days when we wrestle with accusations that can keep us locked down and locked up. Many, many days. In fact, I would dare say most days, you and I are going to wrestle with one or two or a handful of accusations that can keep us locked down and locked up. And we can take that into our day if we don't deal with it. And so let me just say some of those. And here's the thing about accusations. There's usually an element of truth to them. If it wasn't an element of truth, then we wouldn't entertain them. And we can accuse ourselves, right? Others can accuse us. There is such thing as the demonic that can whisper lies to us. One of the titles for Satan is what? The accuser of the brethren. So he accuses. It's one of his primary means of locking us down and locking us up. So listen, have you ever said these things to yourself? You blew it. You can't do it. What you're doing is meaningless. You can't face that. You can't do that. No one cares. No one listens. You're too young. You're too old. You're not qualified. You're not respected. You're not appreciated. You're too tired. You're too weak. You've not done enough. You don't have what it takes. Same song, different message, right? I mean, and I know, again, I just believe because of human nature that most days when we enter into our day, there's going to be a whisper of an accusation. And that can define us. That can be what catapults us into our day if we're not intentional about meeting our Lord in the way he's revealed right here in our text. And let's talk about what that looks like. And let me just mention, again, there are many, many days where I have let the accusation, my own emotions, whatever, define me. And I've taken that throughout the course of my day. And he loves me anyway. Amen? That's a beautiful thing about grace. He loves me anyway. So this has nothing to do with how much Christ loves me. This has to do with his desire that I would be free and fruitful. Okay? And yes, and in that, I'm going to glorify him. In that, I'm going to be a more effective fisher of men. All of those things. But he wants me to be free, and he wants me to be fruitful. The chief end of man, what? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify him, yes, and to enjoy him freedom and fruitfulness. I hope there's something in your soul that aspires to that. I'm sure you've tasted of it at times like I have. This text gives us a key to unlocking these places. So Jesus reveals himself, number one, miraculously. He came and he stood among them. Now there's a debate here. Did he literally walk through the door? Did he magically unlock the door? There's a debate, but there's no debate that there was a miracle that took place here. A miracle happened and Jesus came and stood among them. And I want to suggest to you that he does this every day for you and for me. In the midst of whatever we're going through, whatever accusation that we're wrestling with, there he stands. Fresh mercy, fresh opportunity, the voice of our beloved, as Linda read to us earlier. And here's the question for you and me. And this is where there has to be intentionality. This is where discipline comes in. And it's really simple. Will we acknowledge his presence and listen to him? Real complex, isn't it? Will we take time to acknowledge his presence because he's there and listen to him? That's my simple definition of abiding. That was one of our scriptures in the gospel, right? John 15. Abide in me as I am in you. Eugene Peterson said it this way. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. That's abiding. He's the consistent one. He's the present one. He's not thwarted by whatever state you're in. Even when you're ignoring him, he is there. That's the miracle. You can't lock him out. That's the miracle. That's the miracle here. They were locking him out and they couldn't. You can't lock Christ out. You're in Christ. It is finished. Amen. Now, will you acknowledge his presence and listen to him? Will you abide in him? That's what abiding is. That's where intentionality is there. That's where you pause at some point, preferably at the beginning of your day, and acknowledge him and listen to him. He reveals himself every day to you miraculously. Listen to what he says here. Again, number two, he reassures us of his love and faithfulness. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. This is what I call a theological relational affirmation. A theological relational affirmation. We're good. I forgive you. I love you. Listen, they weren't just scared of being hunted. They also were scared that he might show up and rebuke them. Because why? At his worst point on the way to the cross, they had abandoned him. And so they're thinking he's going to show up and he's going to rebuke him. First thing, peace be with you. You're mine. You're mine. You're forgiven. I love you. And I believe John put this in here because he realizes we're going to have good days and bad days. And this is a difficult context. And Jesus is the same with the same message every day. Peace be with you. We're at peace. Hey, we're good. I love you despite you. That doesn't change. You can't earn more of it. You can't lose any of it. This is his first message to us that he continues to remind us of every day. This is where we get our superhero costume. Right here in this place, this theological, relational affirmation. Every morning, if you let him, hey, here's your robes of righteousness. Here's your imputed righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ on. That's your superhero costume. That never changes. I don't see your sin. As far as the east is from the west, I've cast your sins away from you. Every day, that's your superhero costume. That's your position where God the Father says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Where's Robert? You're a knight at the round table. You're that princess in the palace. This is where he affirms who we are. This is where, and I get back to what I've said over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it, because I need to hear it and you need to hear it. This is where non-agenda worship begins. An affirmation of our position in him. It's finished. And it doesn't change. Receive my affection for you regardless of how good you've been or you think you've been. It's not about what you think you deserve. You're always going to get that wrong. I'll get it wrong. I've asked you for 10 minutes of non-agenda worship every day. And that's simply allowing God to affirm his relationship with you. And one other element that we'll talk about. Peace be with you, he says. And here's the question. Will you and I stop and acknowledge and listen to him? Will we abide in this reality tomorrow? I'm really challenging you because I know what's going to happen. You're going to wake up tired. There's going to be a multitude of responsibilities waiting for you. And you're going to wrestle with an accusation. And will you pause, acknowledge his presence, and listen to him? Because I promise you, he will speak to you. He is alive. He's alive. He's not a principle. He's a person. He's your risen Savior. He is present. I don't care how tight you try to lock it down. Will we stop and listen to him and allow him to affirm our relationship? Next, he reveals himself specifically. In verse 20, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And what he was doing there, this is how I have specifically loved you. That's what he's doing there. Let me show you how I've specifically loved you. Look at these scars in my hands, in my side. This is how much I love you. This is how I have specifically loved you. I took every ounce of God's wrath and judgment upon myself for you so you wouldn't have to. That's the cross. That's the revelation of how he loves us specifically. He took a moment to show his disciples that. It's not a theory here. I did this. And let me tell you what, he wants to show us how he specifically loves us. Yes, in the cross, and that's the daily thing, and that's the beauty of the crucifixion. I hope you have one in your home. Don't get caught up in all the religion of, is that Roman Catholic, or what others are going to think. This is how Jesus loved you specifically. And then he wants to go on and continue to show you how he has loved you specifically. Different, unique ways. And we've been challenging one another in this with our non-agenda worship. Will you and I stop and ask the question in the presence of the Holy Spirit, how? How? How have you loved me and been faithful to me? Because I promise you this, he's not a riddle. He wants to reveal to you how he's been loving you. I mean, he really does. He wants to show you how he's been faithful to you in unique ways, in his word. I mean, this week, I was wrestling with some accusations one morning, and then Psalm 103 was the psalm of the day, and I knew the Lord had given me a word for me. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's Jesus showing up once again and loving me specifically. Listen to this from the Message. Psalm 103, the first few verses. Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in his goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opening up his plans to Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold and hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back full for our wrongdoings. As high as the heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. God will meet you in his word and reveal himself to you every day. Crack the book. When you are wrestling with accusations, crack the book. I've asked you to read the gospel reading every day. Crack the book. Meet Jesus on these pages. It's not just cool stories and principles. Jesus is here. He speaks here to you specifically. He knows right where you are. That's a miracle. That is a miracle that God the Creator speaks to us. One that we shouldn't take for granted. You know, yesterday I was thinking of a way, Millie and I were talking over dinner, one of the ways that God had loved me specifically that day. And I love to, I guess it's becoming infectious. I'm just have this appetite that's being created in me, and I hope it's being created in you to recall how God's been faithful to you and then to offer it back to him and to others. I went to pick up a couch and a love seat yesterday from Helena, yesterday morning. And from Millie's sister Gabby had given it to us. And I'm driving back and I realize all my older kids are gone. So I have no one to help me get these in the house. You know, and then Millie, you know, she can't, her ankle, and so I wasn't going to ask her, obviously. And I pull up, and right as I pull up, I literally get out of the truck, and Ty Williams, if y'all have met Ty, he's this large man, big man, our development director of schools, coming by in his minivan, and he honks his horn and says, "Hey, car, you need some help with that?" Thank you, Ty. And Ty comes up, and he's like, "What did you plan to do?" I said, "I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead." And so he helps me lug the couches in. They're pretty heavy. And we get them in there, and he notices I've got a bunch of furniture to take out. And he says, "You want me to help you take this out?" I said, "No, Todd. I said, Millie is going to spend about 2 hours having me rearrange this in 25 different ways. She loves that. She and Carmel have that in common. They love rearranging furniture just constantly. Right, Robert? And so, you know, I said, "I'm not going to subject you to this." And so Ty left, and literally as we finish rearranging it 27 times, and she gets it how she wants it, I'm starting to lug my first stuff out there to the truck, and Damon comes walking down the sidewalk. "Hey, do you need some help?" And we loaded up the truck, and it was amazing. And y'all, how often is he loving us in specific ways, and we aren't looking for it. We aren't recalling it. We aren't acknowledging it. He's still doing it. That's what's beautiful. Constantly doing it. We circled around this right over here to my right and had some prayer on Tuesday. And this is going to be my commercial. We're doing a men's intercessory prayer time on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 7:30, praying for the community of Fairfield. And it's, you know, anytime there's something gender specific, sometimes people go, "Well, why?" I think God's calling men to step up. Women have been praying faithfully for a lot of years. That's the only reason I'm doing that. And so 6:30 to 7:30, where Dwayne and Kyle are leading in worship. They're alternating weeks. That's going to be really precious. We're going to have Eucharist and we're going to intercede. But we were interceding. And we were praying for unity in this community. And Ben was praying about overcoming evil with good. And he was just talking about the simplicity of getting out and meeting and loving our neighbors. Sometimes we pray against crime and other things, but we're just not being proactive in loving. And so he's praying this about that. And we're praying for unity. And Dwayne was telling me, saying, "I felt convicted about we've had this rift with Fairfield High School. And it's a lot of accusations, and it's really over the competitiveness of football and all this stuff. It's really, you know how these things go." And so Dwayne said, "I just felt convicted to pursue this guy." And he said, I left that prayer meeting that afternoon. This guy comes riding by in his car, the very guy I was thinking of. And I flagged him down, and the guy flagged me down. And he said, "Hey, by the way, we've got this meeting at City Hall today. And they're going to be talking about the utilization of the park and different things. And y'all are invited." And this was 2 hours before the meeting, and no one was invited. That's okay. But Dwayne was there, and the guy said it. Dwayne showed up to the meeting, and they talked through things and got over some concerns, and then Dwayne invited the guy back to his office and just listened to the guy say these things, and he set the record straight. "We never said that. We never did that. We wouldn't do that. We don't, you know," different things, and it was just beautiful reconciliation that took place. All starting with intercession. How many times is our Lord answering our prayers and we don't even reflect how He's done it? He's constantly, that's a specific way He's loving us. And He wants you to know it. He wants you to sense it. He wants you to experience it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not just theologically, but experientially, how He's loving you specifically. He loves to do that. Will we take time just to ask how? I love the response from the disciples. "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." It made me think of the prayer of David, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then sinners will be converted unto you." Joy is miraculous. It's magic. It's like our pixie dust. You can't take it away. It's independent of outward circumstance. The scripture says it's our strength. It's also our attraction. It's why others would want what we have. It's strong. It's beautiful. It cuts through emotion. It cuts through accusation. It cuts through condemnation. It's joy. unspeakable, not dependent on outward circumstance. Can't explain it away. Impenetrable joy. Joy. That's the outcome of allowing the Lord to show us how He specifically loves us. And then, of course, He's redundant. Peace be with you. He says it again. Why? Because he knows we need to hear it again and again and again. We are right. We are good. I love you. See, the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of His love is the foundation for everything that we do. Understanding that, being bathed in that, being reminded of that, confessing that, meditating on that, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister it to us on and on again. See, Mama Gross said something profound a couple of weeks ago, as she often does. She says, love is the most powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. Love is the most powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. As we go out there and we're clashing and clanging about, our chief weapon is His love. Reminds me of that image that Father Don shared years ago, I'll never forget it, of the Apostle John in his 80s being carried into the church on a stretcher and saying, little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. Lastly, He releases us in the power of the Spirit. Verse 22, let me read that. And when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the only time that this word is used, is He breathed on them in the New Testament. It's also used in Genesis 2:7, where He gave very life in the nostrils of man. This is the power that's here. Or the bones of Ezekiel, the same breath. It reminds me of what we read again in John 15, if we did our gospel reading this week. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean you can't function as a human being. That's not what He's talking about. Apart from me, you can do nothing of eternal value and significance. And that's what we want, right? To be a part of the supernatural and part of the eternal. And there's debates here. Was this a filling before the complete filling of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? You know what? I'll let the theologians wrestle over that. This is what I do know. I need an ongoing filling. Every day. And this is part of the prayer. And this is what I'm talking about that launches us into being who we are. Fill me up fresh and anew today, Lord. Fill me up to the brim, Lord. Fill me up. That's the gift that the God the Father, I promise, will answer. He said, I don't give you a stone when you ask for bread. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And guess what? In Him is everything you need. Everything. Every dilemma that you're about to face, every need that comes across your path is found in Him. I've been praying this prayer from the prayers of the people. It talks about for all bishops, priests, and deacons. And I add counselors, parents, teachers. I think about you. That we would be faithful Holy Spirit ministers of the Word and Gospel and sacraments. Just fill us up, Lord, every day. As parents, as teachers, as husbands, as wives, as counselors, as preachers. Fill us up, Lord. We are so in need of You to do something that is of eternal significance, that You, the very hero, would live Your life through us. I got a picture that I want to share with you of what that looks like that I think will encourage you for the superhero to live His life through us. At least let's pull that picture up if we can. Oh, we had it for a second. There we go. This is in Pennsylvania. This is at a children's hospital. These are window washers. When the kids woke up that day battling with illness and some even terminal illness, their superheroes were flying around their building washing their windows. And what I said to myself when I saw this, I said, you know what? It's this simple. Lord, if we'll take whatever's in our hands and with generosity and creativity offer it to You on behalf of others, You will do something supernatural. You see how simple this is? These men weren't leaping tall buildings, they were washing them. Whatever our Lord puts in our hands, whoever He puts in our way, if we will offer it to Him with creativity and generosity on behalf of others, He will take it and He will use it in a supernatural way. The superhero Jesus will be super through us. I don't know what you'll face tomorrow, but I bet you that you will, an accusation will attempt to lock you down. And here's my challenge to you. First of all, Jesus is there. Will you acknowledge and listen to Him? Will you? Will you allow Him to affirm you relationally? Will you allow Him to speak to you how He has loved you specifically? And will you ask Him to fill you to the brim with His power and to take whatever you have and with creativity and generosity offer it to Him and Him use it in a supernatural way? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.